Let's pray together, shall we? Oh God, we ask that your kingdom would come in our lives, your will would be done, that you would open our eyes of our hearts to your word, that we may receive it implanted to lead a life pleasing to you. Well, this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke with chapter 11, if you have your Bibles and want to turn there. And Jesus is setting his face toward Jerusalem, where he will die a criminal's death for the sins of all mankind and be raised from the dead to secure our salvation. Last week, Luke taught us how to properly worship by sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching, like Mary did instead of Martha, who was anxious and distracted by so many things. We sit at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching, right here in worship this morning, where he comes to us. He gives us his word, and he gives us of himself in his body and his blood in the Lord's Supper to assure us of the forgiveness of sins and salvation. And we sit at the feet of Jesus when we spend personal time in the Word, allowing the Bible, the Word of God, to shape our lives. Because the more we get into the Word gets into us and it changes us. God's Word is powerful. A great lesson. But now in this morning's Gospel, Luke pivots from the story of sitting at Jesus' feet to the subject of prayer. Now notice in verse 1, Luke writes, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" And if you read the Gospels, Jesus often, in critical times, when he had momentous decisions to make, he withdrew to pray. In the 6th chapter of Luke's Gospel, when he healed the man with a withered hand, and the Pharisees were throwing the gauntlet at him for healing on the Sabbath, all the Pharisees' rules and regulations were blocking people from the kingdom of God. And they were so filled with fury, they didn't know what to do. They wanted to plot to kill Jesus. It says that after that incident, Jesus withdrew to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued to pray to God. Later in the 9th chapter of his gospel, after the feeding of the 5,000, it says, "Now it happened that as he was praying alone, and his disciples were with him." In Mark chapter 1, Jesus was healing all who were sick with various kinds of illnesses and diseases. He was casting out evil spirits. Then it says in verse 35, "And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." So here we have the God-man, Jesus, making prayer an important part of his life here on earth, part of his ministry, talking with his Father in heaven. So what is prayer? How do we pray? Why do we pray? Martin Luther says in his small catechism, prayer is just simply speaking to God in words and thoughts. Pouring your heart out to God. You know, our salvation, and we all know this as Lutherans, right? We're justified by faith, alone through faith. There's nothing we can do to attain merit with God by our own works. It's done as a free gift by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. That's all good. We got it down. But prayer is something that we do. It's something that we take the initiative on. It's something where God calls us to come and talk to him. So when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he gave them a model prayer, which we all know as the Lord's Prayer. And he begins by saying, "Father, hallowed be thy name. When we're acknowledging these things about God, that the Lord is King of heaven and earth, he's Lord of our lives. He is sovereign above all things. So it's kind of like, Lord, we worship you. We adore you. We bow down before you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now Matthew's gospel adds, thy will be done. Along with deliver us from the evil one at the end. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is a present reality that's being inaugurated in Jesus and in the disciples. But guess what? I'm here to tell you this morning that it is a present reality in your life and my life by the virtue of our baptism when we receive the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God comes when our Heavenly Father gives us the Holy Spirit. So that we can, by his grace, believe his word and promises to lead godly lives. In this life, to eternity, we pray that when God's will is done, he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil in the world and our sinful nature. They don't want us to hallow God, nor revere his name, nor do the world, the devil, and our flesh want the kingdom of God to come. We pray for his will to be done, to strengthen us and keep us firm in his word until the day that we are called home to glory. These are things God does in us, gives us his kingdom, wants his will to be done in our lives. Then he moves and says, give us this day our daily bread. Whatever we need, both physically and spiritually, to nourish our faith, hope, love, our talents to serve others. You know, in the Bible, bread signifies everything that belongs to our entire life in this world and the bread of life spiritually, which is Jesus. We acknowledge that God is the giver of all good things. You didn't do it yourselves. God blesses us with all that you need to sustain you in this life. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Because God forgives you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness, we must let our grudges go and forgive those who impede us, who hurt us or cause us pain. I think of that scripture where Jesus said, if you can't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So we are called because God has forgiven us. So we need to forgive others and let go of all those things that tie us up inside where other people have hurt us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, Martin Luther says about this part of the Lord's Prayer that as long as we live in this world, no one can escape temptations and the allurements of the flesh. While the devil is prowling around trying to destroy your faith. But we pray here that we wouldn't fall into them, that God would protect us. In other words, protect me, Lord, from the evil one. Don't let me go there. You, God, know my weaknesses. Give me strength, because there's spiritual warfare out there. And many times, tribulations and entanglements always arise in our lives. They come for a multitude of purposes and reasons. You know what Martin Luther said too? He said, if you only knew how many arrows the devil has pointed at you. That's why we pray, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. It should be part of our DNA. And Luther says, as he ends his commentary in the Catechism on the Lord's Prayer, that at such times of distress, our only help and comfort is to take refuge in the Lord's Prayer and appeal to God from our hearts. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer and keeps us from the snares of the evil one. So Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray and teaches us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is really a battle cry for each and every Christian. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to seek all that we need from God. In the first three requests, we pray for things that God to do in us. In the second four requests, we pray for both our physical and spiritual needs. This is the roadmap of prayer. Then Jesus says to be persistent in prayer. He tells the story of a person who asks a friend for bread at midnight. He says, the friend is already in bed and says, go away, for the door is shut, my children are asleep. Because if I get up to give you bread, I'm going to wake up the kids, and I don't want to do that. Then you're going to mess up my whole night's sleep. But because this person is above reproach, that's what the word in there means, impudence. And because of the persistence of this person needing bread, knowing that his friend will give it to him, he gets up and gives him the bread. So our Heavenly Father is always available to us. It doesn't matter, but God, and Jesus is saying, continue to come before God in prayer. Don't stop. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable about the woman who wanted justice from a godless judge. Scripture says the judge neither knew God nor cared about it. But this woman kept bothering this judge for justice. And the justice went, you know what, I don't care about God. But you know what, this woman is such a pest. I'm going to give her justice. She received it because of the continual persistence. And we need to be persistent in prayer. And Jesus tells his disciples, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened to you. He uses these metaphors for ask, it will be given to you. Knock and the door is open. Seek and you'll find. The verb in the text is actually saying, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, don't stop. You see, God gives us his good gifts when we pray asking in faith. He gives us the Holy Spirit when we ask. I often, when I get up, I don't know what to pray, and I'm kind of like, well, Lord, gift me the Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit today. I need the truth of the Holy Spirit. All whatever else is going to happen doesn't matter. Because you're in control. How often do you pray? Is prayer an important part of your life? Is it part of your DNA? And I mean, you don't have to have a PhD or be a theologian to know the lofty these and thous of prayers, but just to come, God, I need you. I'm desperate. I'm hurting. Come to me. The Apostle Paul says in our epistle this morning, don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Are you anxious this morning? Are you troubled about many things? Pray. Are there many obstacles in your life right now? Pray. Can't sleep at night? Get out of bed and pray. When you're driving alone, turn off the Sirius XM and pray. When you take walks, pray. Tune everything else out. Talk to God, for he hears you. I think some of my best times in prayer are in the car. Especially before I had retired, I would have to travel quite a bit. And the temptation was always to turn on, you know, whatever news program or whatever this. No, I just need to hear from the Lord. And sometimes we need to be silent before God and let Him speak to us. Be still and know that I am God. And He does. I think what made King David a man after God's heart, and you know, this was the man who got someone's wife pregnant and then hired a hitman to kill the husband. But what made him, the Bible says, a man after God's heart was that he was totally dependent on the mercy of God and continually pouring his heart out to God in prayer. This is Psalm 25. And I quote this many times. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I'm lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Look upon my anguish. Free me from my distress. Take away all my sins. Psalm 40. Do not withhold your mercy from me. May your truth and loving kindness always protect me. For many troubles, Lord, have surrounded me. My sins have piled so high I can't see. They're more than the hairs on my head. Come, save me. Psalm 31. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Redeem me, O Lord God of truth. And Psalm 39. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping. This was King David. And this was real life experiences. And when he prayed, he touched the throne of God. And when we pray, we touch the very throne of God. Because all of this is because of Jesus Christ, who suffered for our sins, for our guilt and for our shame, who died on a cross to bear our punishment and rose again on Easter Day for our salvation, because God loves you and me. We have a Father who will never, ever let us go. He will never let us down. In fact, Paul says in Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And later on, Paul crowns that chapter with saying, if God be for us, who can be against us? The promise of prayer is that you can pray. You are invited to pray. You are encouraged to pray, if need be, to storm the gates of heaven with your prayers. And God will hear and God will answer. So, brothers and sisters, make prayer an important aspect of your life. Make it part of your DNA. Every day, set a time aside for you to go and pour out your heart to God. I know in my life I can't go, it's like I can't go 2 or 3 days without working out or going to the gym. I can't go a day without spending that time with God. I need to get away and pour out my heart to Him. Acknowledge my sin to Him and receive His promises. Pour out your heart to God. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. And your Heavenly Father hears your prayers and promises you the Holy Spirit to endure anything in this life. Because after all, God is on our side. Amen.